KFNC, Mont Bellevue, Houston, a Gao Media station. ESPN 97.5. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Travis Johnson, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Hey, by the way, Raheel is in here talking. That's who you hear in the background. He's fantastic. He wanted me to cut the show short so I could talk to him.
But the good thing was he was talking about Fabo Brothers.
The pizza is phenomenal. Stuffed, deep dish, original thin crust. I keep telling you. And by the way, our loyal listeners are hitting up Fabo Brothers on the weekends and telling Hani and the rest of the ownership how much they like listening to us and eating the pizza. So shout out to Jacob, who's a UPS driver, and Nate, another loyal listener and also big-time Fabo Brothers customer. Like I said, head to Fabo Brothers, Sweetwater Boulevard at 59, and tell them that you heard it here. You either get buy one, get one free, or you get 20% off one. That's a pretty good deal.
Yeah, exactly. You know, you got some great deals.
I know how to set it up, baby. Yeah, I can set the table and then let you eat.
It just threw me to buy one, get one free, or 20% off one.
Because if you can't do the two and it's too much food, which for us would never be a problem.
Because Deucey had that stuffed one today that had the
tomato sauce on the
top. The sausage and what else?
Lots of cheese. Pepperoni.
Your mic is not on while he tried to say
cheese. He's learning.
Now you can say it.
Go ahead. Now go in the microphone and say cheese.
Cheese.
That's what you had in it? Was it good?
There was cheese in it.
Well, was it good?
Yeah.
It was real good.
So kids love it too.
So would you tell everybody to buy some Fabo Brothers? You tell them? All right.
We're going to use the microphone and say, I'd go to Fabo Brothers.
Tell them to go to Fabo Brothers and tell them Deucey sent you.
What is it?
Go here. Speak into the mic, dude.
What is it called?
Fabo Brothers.
Fabo Brothers.
Go to Fabo Brothers.
There you go. Deuce is on the loose, and he's telling you like he knows it because he ate it. Fabo Brothers is the place to be, fellas, and it's all takeout only. So you can take it and dine at the house. The Greek salad comes in huge servable sizes.
I love that salad. You know what? I'm a big
Lisa
I'm a
and
big
I get that
guy.
Size when her mom's in town. And keep it in the fridge for the next couple days. You can eat salad whenever you're. It's awesome.
I love peppers, and I think to me I call them pepperoncinis, but they're not pepperoncinis. But those banana peppers that's on there.
Yep, pepperoncinis.
Yeah, those things are phenomenal.
What's that? Oh, well, let's go to a call then. Let's go to Jesse in Houston, who has a question about the Texans. Jesse, what's up?
How you doing, guys? Okay, so I'm glad Texas won yesterday against a team that should have beaten. I also want to say, Rockets, they got a nice little win streak going. Mm-hmm. So, one, can the Rockets continue their win streak against San Antonio? And two, who had the best comeback this weekend, the Rockets or the Texans? I'll hang up on this.
Okay, Jess, appreciate the comment. All circumstances included, it's pretty evenly weighted. Nick, you can chime in because you know how important these games are. I will say because it's late in the season, the Texans' win is weighted bigger because if they lose, they're basically done. So I will say that the Texans was a bigger win, but I will say nothing is as impressive to me as a team on a back-to-back, tired, showing their tired legs for 3.5 quarters,
and then
down double
the
digits, coming back, forcing overtime, and winning that game. Again, that's a game that basically everybody writes down as a more than probable L just from the travel and circumstances with the back-to-back. To win that game, tell you what, they're playing good basketball.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more, man.
They are. I mean, go ahead, Nick.
No, I'm just saying that the win for Texans was obviously bigger, but that comeback was obviously better by the Rockets. I pretty much second everything you said. But, yeah.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, the win for the Texans because of the – right now, basketball game, I don't want to say don't mean anything, but, for the most part –
Until football's over, it's hard.
But it's not – I'm not saying personally.
No, I get it.
I'm just saying as far as that have any real standing to affect the end of the
impact win. I get it.
It's not really impact win for a team who's playing such good ball right now. You say, all right, if you lose one, you lose one. If you don't, if you win it, you just want another one. You see what I'm saying?
James Harden, Western Conference Player of the Week, Very much deserved.
And you were the first person to say he was going to be an MVP candidate.
Yeah, I've been saying it all year. And see, that's the thing with these people. And again, Trap, we had a few cowardly keyboard confidants come at us this weekend.
You had me dying laughing this week.
And I basically dug the hole and allowed them to bury themselves. But one
on
thing
the that, demo stuff, right?
Yeah. And one thing people need to realize is someone had the audacity to say, I'm bitter. I'm just better. I'm in a better situation, but it doesn't mean that I don't love the guys in that locker room and the players that I worked with, and I want them to succeed. Now, there's three people on the top of that organization I could care less about that I really, if I had the chance to, I would absolutely tell you how I feel. But as a team, I like what this team's doing, and I keep telling everybody, hey, it's a long season. So are they a top five team in the NBA right now? Absolutely, because their record says they are. But in order to be competitive in the playoffs, I keep holding to the fact that they have to have at least one low post defender and one low post score. Now, Daryl's always made at least one move at the deadline, so I don't say that they're done. I'm not judging anything on this roster for the playoffs because I think it could change.
Do you think that's the direction he's going in, though?
And we talked to Calvin Watkins, who said they still may look for a point guard as well, but I think that's the direction that they should look. Someone on Twitter mentioned Tyson Chandler, and he might be available from Phoenix. Might be the perfect fit. He can defend. Doesn't have to do it for a full game, but a good low post defender, and we know on the low block, he can make a few moves, but he can get offensive rebounds, keep balls alive, block shots on the other end. I would like someone maybe a little thicker, but I think with his veteran experience, what he would bring to that locker room could be big. But I want people to enjoy this ride right now. Just ride it out as long as it goes and realize your team is winning basketball games. That's been hard to do. So enjoy it, and don't sit there and try and drink the Kool-Aid now and say they're a championship caliber team. Just enjoy what it is now, realizing the roster can change between now and the playoffs. You hope for the better. And then you can see what you got come playoff time. But don't look too far ahead of yourself and just stick with what you got, which is a team that's won 10 in a row, that's playing exciting basketball and winning games.
No question. We both had a question whether or not, what was it, Race for the Eight? You know what I mean? See,
Pursuit of the Eight spot.
And I think, you know, the way they're playing right now is it has all surprised. It should have the entire city surprised and excited for what they're doing. So, I mean, there's still a few more pieces you can get, and we know those guys over there, they like to play them like chess pieces.
Right.
So, you know, they're gonna go.
He treats them like assets. So, you know, he likes to move assets around, and that's the way the business is done in the NBA these days. And so that actually ruffles a lot of feathers across the league, but that's kind of the way the league has been turning. But he's always made at least one move at the deadline, and if he makes the right move this year, there's a lot of people in the playoffs that don't want to see this team. But there's also quite a few that would say, oh, we'll take that for seven games because we know all they do is shoot threes right now.
No question.
And so if you guard the perimeter – and you load up on the perimeter and say, now try and stop us inside with dribble penetration and or low post play, and watch a team like San Antonio use Aldridge and Gasol and move them around and say, try and stop one, if not both of these guys, because we know what Aldridge did to you when you had Omer Asik and you had some bigs a couple years ago. You don't have those guys on the roster right now. And again, they're also not very deep, and I worry about depth as the season progresses, because yes, Gordon and Anderson have stayed healthy to this point, but Nene is fragile older.
He's awesome.
And you saw when Capella went down the other night. And this is what I said to people on Twitter. To illustrate my point about how I'm just giving you the facts, it's not anything personal. Karl Anthony Towns went to town and cleaned up against the Rockets. Why? Because they don't have a low post defender that can challenge him on the other end and force him to play defense, and he went for 40.
He did, and I think that was the biggest that and it's the biggest glaring sign of everything we talked about earlier is what why they need a big man, why they need a Demo in the first place. Yeah, I mean, I know Demo's not a defensive guru, but at the same time, you still needed that. You need that presence down low to be able to slow him down a little bit. You know, be that speed bump per se.
Yeah, I mean, that's the biggest thing, and so that's why I say there's still work to be done, but don't second guess or stay away from this team now for any reason, because they're exciting, they're in it, they're winning, and that's what Houston likes. If you're going to be watching basketball in December and January before football's over, you better damn well be entertaining, you better be winning games, and that's what they're doing. So you can stick with that. So I want to clear that up once and for all. I'm better, not bitter. And from a Rocket standpoint, I love those guys in the locker room that I know. I love the fact that they're winning games. I really have a my disdain is for three people at the top. Other than that, I think that the Rockets team, as constructed with the coach that they brought in, has been extremely impressive. It's just how long can they keep it up? Can they avoid the injury bug? Can they add just enough so that they get that little extra oomph come playoff time? Those things remain to be seen. We'll answer those questions as the season goes on. So we got a little Rockets in there. If you want to continue to talk Rockets, we can do that. Otherwise, just hit us up if you want to talk football or anything else. 713-780-ESPN. That's 713-780-3776. You can text us to that line. You can call us. We'll put you on the show. Otherwise, hit us up on Twitter. We're here till 4, ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. Please stand by. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Travis Johnson, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Travis and Joel, Nick behind the glass, till 4 o'clock here, kicking some ass. I can say that because Deuce has got his headset on playing video games, so he didn't listen to
He'll
us.
He'll be all right. He hears worse from his daddy.
Travis Jr., otherwise known as the Deuce, is in studio with us.
He's the second. Junior sounds like a little dude. That's why he's the second. That's why you call him Deuce.
I was getting to that.
Okay.
If you would let me flow, I would get to my point.
Well, you know, I like to step over your flow.
I don't like the fact. Someone should tweet the fact that I don't get enough time to flow. So we've been talking Rockets, Texans, anything you want to talk about. Is it an obvious choice, Trav, now that Tom Savage is your quarterback from here on out? Or... Yeah. Is Bill O'Brien so loyal? This is what I was worried about. Everybody is so convinced that this is a done deal. I do worry about the loyalty factor and the fact that somehow, some way, he may try and find Brock back in there.
Yeah. Yes and no. Well, I think right now you got to go with the hot hand. I think he goes with Savage. He sticks with Savage. If he puts him back in again, the place is going to erupt and they're going to boo everything. They're going to boot, and there's not going to be anything to get done. So I think you got to ride with the hot hand. I think you got to make sure that Savage is in the game. If you want to win games, because right now, if you put him back in, his confidence is shot. Because the first thing he's thinking, as soon as I screw up, you're going to take me out.
Yeah.
So now Savage, you got to put him in and say, you know what? We're going with Savage the rest of the season, and off season we'll get it right. You know what I mean?
It's an interesting scenario because it's not like you're playing around with a team that's headed for the draft and not going to make the playoffs. You're talking about a team tied for first place where every win is important and every game, as we've highlighted, is a playoff game. And so it puts a lot more pressure on every decision. Are you okay with your owner, or former owner in this case, but the owner of your team, one of your Wees, are you okay with Mr. McNair saying that we now know we have three quality quarterbacks on this roster?
I believe that was O'Brien that said that.
Oh, Bill O'Brien. I'm sorry, yeah. But I believe McNair also said it to some degree that he's very confident after he said that Bill made a very gutsy call. You good with that comment? Three quality quarterbacks?
I think because we got Brandon Whedon. You got
Brandon Whedon hasn't exactly excelled anywhere.
Yeah, but he's a serviceable backup.
You know what I like to call him? Game managers.
Yeah, but I don't mind a game manager.
No, game manager can be a good thing. You know, and Tom Savage was an exceptional game manager the other day.
Yes, and I think once you teach Osweiler the entire offense, and I don't know if he doesn't know it, or I don't know if he does, but it just seems like he thinks too much to know everything. You see what I'm saying? So I think it's a quality say. I wouldn't say they're very talented. I just say you have a good group of quarterbacks.
Are you okay with that quote, though?
Yeah, if you say you have a good group of quarterbacks, yeah, I say,
do it like that. Are you okay with that quote as opposed to this quote?
I'm not I don't think the three talented quarterbacks is a smart quote. I mean, he could have left that out, I think.
Yeah, you say, I think that was, that is the let me take the middle of the road type of quote. You know, I think that's the let me take the middle of the road type of quote to say, yeah, we have three talented quarterbacks. We know we have three talented quarterbacks, but when you think about it.
My question, though, is that, you okay with that quote?
No,
the way
it was, as opposed to
this quote that Nick has for you right now.
I don't have the quote yet, but I'll get it
okay,
for you.
Yeah, there's another quote I want you to reference and see which one is worse. Because the fact of the matter is that from the perspective of, if you were so sure that you had this stable of quarterbacks, wouldn't you have made this change earlier?
No, because you invested at least $37 million in it.
But you're in first place trying to win a division.
still.
You just told me how important
it is to get in. Exactly. But I think you got also, we know how this business is. Yeah, you got to get in. Yeah, mm-hmm. you want to get in. In order to win, you got to get in.
Right.
You know, but at the same time, you look at it and saying, we don't want to look. This league is not built on fools. They're not going to sit there and say, I paid this guy $37 million and I'm going to rip him out of the game or I'm not going to play him. Like, you still owe him that money.
And I had said all along they needed to just at least do this, just like they did it, in a game where he struggled as a wake-up call. But I was saying that thinking that they would end up going back to him. But now, because it's so close to the end of the season, because every win is so vital, I just, you know what? It was, call me crazy. I saw this as being Savage got you through the Jacksonville game, but that I just felt like he was going to go back to Brock.
No question. No, and I thought he was at some point, but.
And we don't know because the decision hasn't been made yet. I just feel like he may still go back to Brock.
No, I think they're going to go with Savage.
Okay. And that's what everybody's leaning. Nick, what do you think?
I think he's going to go with Savage too. I don't think he's going to make that decision. I think you at least try him for at least one more game.
One more game.
But again, now remember, guys, every game's a playoff game. If that one game fails, you could be experimenting with the end of your season.
What was crazy to me was looking at that box score when they made that transition into Tom Savage and just to see how his numbers and yards was just slowly but surely passing up Osweiler's. And then seeing on the receiving side, just seeing Hopkins' numbers just go up crazy. Because really,
those were
Ramsey,
two things that stuck out to me too. But here's the other thing that people didn't even realize. Yesterday was the first 300-yard passing game for a Texans offense in over a year. Last October was the last 300-yard passing game for
that's
a Texans
crazy.
Offense. In the NFL, in today's day and age.
That's crazy.
Yes.
That's nuts.
Yes.
Like, that
I can tell you hadn't heard that before.
No, I hadn't. And that's why I'm sitting there like, when you said that, I'm like, yeah, there's no way. But that's nuts. Like, that should never happen.
No. Especially because it's a pass-happy league.
Pass-happy league. The league, not just pass happy league, but they do. They got a lot of favors. They got a lot. They don't allow the DBs to press a guy past 5 yards. You can't hit him. You got to allow him to catch the balls. You got to allow. You know it.
That's why everything lines up and says that's a ridiculous stat.
No question. No
True.
Question.
So there you have it. I'm just a little leery of the fact that now you're going to expect too much of a guy. That if we thought the sample size was small on Brock Osweiler, you really don't know what you're dealing with Tom Savage. Now, against a Jacksonville team that admittedly is awful.
Awful.
He got you through. You're going to play a team in Cincinnati that was beating Pittsburgh for 3.5 quarters.
And then they had the terrible towel.
They abused a terrible towel, and that'll get you.
Every time.
Yep.
You remember when T.J. Hoshmanzada wiped his shoes with it?
Yep.
And what came back happened?
But what did Berman used to call him? TJ, who's your daddy?
TJ, who's your mama?
Same difference.
Yeah.
But the Bengals are not the Jacksonville Jaguars. And then right after that, Tennessee comes with a matchup that could be for the division, and you're going to start a guy that's only played a handful of snaps in the NFL. We'll see what happens.
You got to. He's all you got left.
We got a couple calls, Nick. You want to hit one before the break?
Sure.
Let's try Nelanie, I think that is.
Yeah, that's Nelanie. Yep.
What's up?
Hey, this is Nelanie. I'm just listening to what you guys are saying, and I don't agree. I think that they really should go back with the person that they signed for the money because, first of all, it's just one game. And I hear you guys talking about how sorry Jacksonville is already, but it's just one game. And I think that Osweiler just needed a little time on the sidelines to see where he's making his mistakes. And I think they should go back with Osweiler because he's got more experience as far as playing against those difficult teams. I know he's made some mistakes, but I think once he comes out and he sees what he's doing wrong, he can probably improve. And that's all I had to say.
Nelanie, thanks for the call. I hope you were listening to both of us because we had point and counterpoint going
yes.
here. I'm the one that said that I thought that they might stay with Brock.
Yeah.
And that's not to say they might not yank him again. But from an experience standpoint, that's and because of O'Brien being a fiercely loyal guy, too, we'll see. But we do like to cover both sides.
Yeah,
of
we, I we see always
her,
do.
And so I see your point, but I also see yours. And this goes back to the whole Dak and Romo thing of riding the hot hand. I totally get that.
No question. And you know, all you Romosexuals out there, we're not trying to start any problems. But yeah, I just say you gotta go with him. You know what I mean? Right now, if you want to win out, if Savage comes out there and he makes a few mistakes early,
yep,
then you might give him the hook.
And again, on the flip side, that might give Brock a whole lot of confidence coming back in. They need me. I got a chance here to step up and do something for these guys. Because you know he's a good dude. You know he's a locker room guy, a loyal guy. Man. You saw Grimes and other guys, when he got taken out, go and put their arm around him like, man, just hang in there. It's going to be okay. You know they like this guy. They want him to succeed. He just hasn't been able to do it.
Exactly.
So it'd be interesting to see. All right, Corey, you're up next. You want to talk about Savage or Osweiler? What's up?
Well, honestly, I think it could go either way. But whoever starts is going to be on very, very thin ice. Osweiler has been very inconsistent and, in my opinion, awful the entire year. And then Savage, he hasn't had a whole lot of snaps. And frankly, in my opinion, a lot of the reason that we were able to come back was because we had some big penalties and big play situations. A couple pass interference calls on that last drive that led to that touchdown. Honestly, I think he's going to go with Savage. I think Bill O'Brien knows that the ship is sinking with Brock Osweiler, and he knows that his ship is tied to Osweiler's. So if Brock goes down, then he's going down, and so is the GM. And I think he's going to put all his marbles in Tom Savage's basket and hope for the best. Because, I mean, if he's the genius that found potential in Tom Savage, then he might save his job just doing that. I'll hang up and listen.
Or vice versa, he could potentially lose his job because of that.
The two moves, I say it's a lot easier to start Savage and yank him for the simple fact of the point you made earlier. Brock will be looking over his shoulder the whole time if you start him. For the first time he screws up. But again, if Savage screws up and he comes in and could be the possible savior, he may be able to completely hit the reset button and come in with a little more confidence.
Yeah, no question.
And it might be better for both. So that's the way I would lean. But we'll see what happens. There are reports out there that it's already a done deal. Savage will get the start. So maybe that is the right thing to do. Start Savage, and if he gets off to a slow start, he's still a young kid and he still understands he's learning. You can make that switch back to Brock quicker that way than vice versa. Let us know what you think. Call in. Join the show. 713-780-ESPN or hit us up on Twitter. We're here till 4, ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.
We'll be right back after this break.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Travis Johnson, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Joel Blank, Travis Johnson, Nick Sherrod, till 4 o'clock here on ESPN 97.5, where Monday through Friday we bring you the best in sports and entertainment while breaking it down like a mother and giving you opinions you can find like no other. And that's why we do what we do. Boy, I'm going to flow myself right there.
Flow.
It's a very, very important term that can be planted by others.
No question.
Like a seed in the garden of love.
We got to flow.
Isn't she the chick on that insurance commercial?
Yeah, flow is the chick on. No, flow is the one for. Is she the insurance lady or is flow the tampon lady?
Oh God,
I do not know.
Flow is the one that does the insurance.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, that's her name, Flow.
Yeah, what? Progressive.
Yeah, Progressive.
Talking about getting that money.
Yeah.
Okay. So there you have it. By the way, my man Clarence, you are joining us on the show after checking in with us at Trailer Wheel and Frame last week. We appreciated meeting you in person. Sorry about the delay. Don't know what happened on the phones, but we do have Raj on the phones, and normally he's pretty darn good. You want to get in on this QB situation. What's up?
Yeah, what's going on, guys? How y'all doing?
Good,
you? Doing all right about yourself?
Well, first of all, I mean, everybody watched the game. Y'all seen what I pretty much seen. Tom Savage, quote-unquote, saved the day against a 2-12 Jacksonville team whose defense is subpar at best. But, I mean, that's all well and good, but everybody's missing the big picture of it as they're trying to figure out who's going to start. It doesn't matter who's going to start if your defense can't actually get – if your offense can't get into the end zone and your defense can only hold up for so long. Everybody's seen all the red zone trouble we were having, and that's against Jacksonville. Imagine when they played Cincinnati, who was probably real upset after what happened in Pittsburgh, and then I guess, decent Tennessee team who's playing for their playoff live after they're going to beat Jacksonville next week. So I'm saying it doesn't matter who's going to start. If they don't fix the red zone problem, then they might as well just pack up and not even go to the playoffs because it's not even going to happen. Thanks, guys.
All right, Clarence, appreciate the call. Look, I mean, in the red zone, the number one issue is who's behind center to make it happen in the first place.
Exactly.
Then it's the play call. We talked about the 4th-and-1 play call, which thankfully Bill O'Brien admitted after the game probably wasn't the right call. But overall, not that all problems have been solved just because you made this switch. It's just that a lot of clarity came to a very mucked up situation based on what you did and what the outcome was. But again, like I said, this isn't like week 3 or 4 or 5 where you're experimenting, but you can still save the season. Your season is on the line now with every game. And I know Jason's out there on Twitter saying the Cincinnati game doesn't matter because you can lose the Cincinnati game, but you can beat Tennessee and you can still win the division. Great, you could. But at the same time, you could have wrapped it up and the Tennessee game wouldn't make a damn bit of difference if you took care of your business and you win games you're supposed to win, then maybe Tennessee loses. That would have probably been the scenario for just what could have happened yesterday. But since Tennessee had a sweet comeback and won a game that everybody had them penciled in to lose, now you're playing it through the last game of the regular season, assuming you take care of your business and do what you're supposed to do. That's a big if.
So that goes back. So then that also goes back to the tweet you just got. Asking if everybody wins out, what game gets flexed to the night game?
Both of them could be for the division.
Yes. So what game?
Okay, so a question was thrown out to me, not you, that said, if all goes as planned, Tennessee and the Texans for the division in the South in the AFC, Detroit and Green Bay for the division in the NFC North, which game gets flexed to Sunday night? Now, everybody's going to say, well, you're going to say Green Bay because you love the Packers. That completely out of the equation, from a ratings perspective with the players involved, I think from a ratings perspective, Green Bay would get the Sunday night game.
I agree. I would agree with that. Just for the simple fact is, there's a lot more Packer fans than there are Texan fans. There's a lot more Detroit, you know, the Detroit fans.
It's a bigger media market.
Tennessee,
you know, Nashville's very small in comparison.
And
the Texans don't have their J.J. Watt and all the sex appeal they might have in other years.
Exactly. I think if J.J. would have been playing, you put that on TV. You know what I mean? I think if we'd have still had the big names, I mean, DeAndre Hopkins is a big name as far as to us. But I don't know if he's transcended the NFL atmosphere of superstars yet because of this year's struggles per se with the quarterback position. So I think if we still had the bigger names around here, I think it would have been a perfect game. You know, if Arian was still in his prime, if we had all those guys, you know what I mean? Like, I think it could have been, but it's not. So I think you got to look at what's the best quarterback battle. And with us not having a surefire, you know, franchise quarterback, I think you put those former first round picks against each other.
Stafford's arguably, in some people's minds, an MVP candidate.
He's definitely an MVP candidate.
Okay. Rodgers, a previous MVP candidate. Winners, if he wins against Minnesota leading into that game, they'll have won 5 in a row. He's the hottest quarterback going.
Yeah, there's already reports flowing around that Rodgers could be a potential MVP too.
Like, sneaking in, baby.
I already saw 2 of them. I think it's 2. It's still
just
it's premature.
See Aaron
it's premature.
Rodgers doing anything but being a backdoor Hall of Famer.
Well.
Here's,
I haven't seen my own toes in at least 18 years, but I'm going to tell you, Aaron Rodgers is not a Hall of Famer until he gets in, kind of benefit of the doubt.
I mean, here's the thing.
He's flat out one of the top 3 quarterbacks in this league.
Right now?
Has been, will continue.
Has
be.
Been, but I think he has an MVP. I still think he needs more on his resume.
I don't disagree that he's going to have to that he will
like
continue.
Like if he retired,
look,
if he
he's
retired,
won a Super Bowl, he's won an MVP in the regular season. He's doing things where you look at his track record, where his teams have been down and basically ruled out 3 of the last 4 years, and he's basically said, "Relax." He said, "We'll run the table," which they're on the on the course to do this year. Last game of the regular season 2 years ago against the Bears, they either win the division or they're out. Last play of the game, one of the last plays of the game, he throws a 60-yard bomb to Cobb. He continues to step up with stats over games and in big time situations.
And I totally understand that. And I think he'll eventually be a Hall of Famer. But I think they still want more from him. I think you still have to have more. If he retires today, he's not a Hall of Famer.
Sean Salisbury will argue with that.
I know, yeah, I think it'd be a great argument. I love watching him play. I think he's phenomenal. But I still think when you talk about you still got to bring up other quarterbacks that have had similar time. If that's the case, if he retires now, and Ben and Big Ben,
my own sanity, let's just table that, because I don't want to even think about that, of what this team would be without him.
Yeah, that's what I mean, and I think that's would be the biggest thing.
When you talk about most valuable, it's hard.
But if that's the case, they also should have gave most valuable player to Peyton Manning the year he didn't play.
Wow, there you have that. So Bill O'Brien has just named the starter for the Cincinnati game, and it is Tom Savage. But notice I say just for the Cincinnati game. He did not say for the rest of the season. So, again, we'll see how it plays out. But he says right now that the best chance to win is
and I kind of felt like that's what he would have done if he decided to choose Savage, that he wouldn't give him like the whole season.
Yeah, he's going to give him a shorter leash. But, again, you can do that to a young kid who's still trying to learn the ropes, as opposed to a guy that's already been through it in Denver, got the money, and now realizes it's all on his shoulders, and he got it taken out from under him. So, interesting scenario, but one that is not without precedent. So, we'll see how it plays out. You good with that, Trap?
Yeah, I agree. I think when you allow him to play, I don't think you give him the full start. I think he has to earn some more. When it comes to, am I going to start him past this game? Am I going to start him past this game? So I play him this game, and who we got again this week?
Cincinnati.
Yep. I think that's one. That's another reason. It's kind of, how can I put this? It's funny because you play him against a team with such a good defense,
yeah,
with such a good team for the most part.
But it's out of the playoffs.
They are out of the playoffs. Yeah. But you look at it and say, if he struggles, everybody's gonna say, well, it was the Bengals. The Bengals pretty good team.
There's just not that much wiggle room. So we'll see what happens. Okay, we'll get to it after the break. But what I want to get to right now is to this holiday season with Christmas right around the corner coming up this weekend. You guys want to spread some unstoppable joy? Well, visit Finish Line stores nationwide, and there's plenty in the Houston area. For the fifth year in a row now, Finish Line is the premium athletic shoe and apparel retailer that we all know at the malls, but they're partnering with Special Olympics. You guys realize there's over 5 million Special Olympics athletes competing in sports day in, day out in 170 countries worldwide. They're inspiring, fierce competitors. They're defying stereotypes, breaking down barriers, and are finding inclusion through sports. When you shop at your local Finish Line store during the holidays or online, you can donate at your checkout to the Special Olympics, but the clock is running out. It's game on. Visit Finish Line now until December 24th at the malls or finishline.com and make a difference and help spread unstoppable joy this holiday season. You can shop Nike, Adidas, Brand Jordan, all your favorite brands at the newly remodeled Pearland Town Center store or one in a mall close to you. Or you can just shop online at finishline.com, but donate to Special Olympics. It's a worthwhile cause, especially in the holidays. Please and thank you.
ESPN 97.5. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Travis Johnson, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Joel Blank, Travis Johnson, Deuce Johnson. Not really contributing a whole lot because he's playing video games, but he's here with us. And my man Nick Shirara behind the glass. Deuce has already issued a challenge to Nick that he wants to take him outside and beat him in basketball and baseball. As soon as possible.
He did.
Can I state something to you guys that may have been overlooked because of all the talk on the quarterback and everything else that happened in that game yesterday?
Mm-hmm.
Nick Novak not only should get a game ball, people pick on kickers, but based on what he was going through with his back and what he was expected to do when they were playing from behind, Nick Novak was huge.
Oh, no question. Nick Novak, and I might be partially biased because he's a good friend.
Okay.
And former teammate, great dude. You see what I'm saying?
San Diego?
Yeah, San Diego. We were together in San Diego. And but he's a tough – he's always been a tough dude. He's always been – and that's the thing. Some people frown down on kickers. They say, oh, they're not – they're really not a part of this game. Well, we've seen – with them moving the extra point back to where they have, how much kickers are really a part of this game now? And, I mean, to be honest, if he's not there, we don't win this game.
I don't think there's any question. And when I kept looking, when they first showed the training table and they were working hard on someone, I'm like, it's a single-digit number.
You're like,
Brock wears 17. Who the hell is that? I mean, Whedon wasn't suited up.
Yeah.
And then when you realize it was Novak, then you see him on the next kick after that they got to have,
and he slips,
and you can see the agony he's in. Then the roughing the kickers start coming up too. And yet, time and time again, he kept nailing them and splitting the uprights. And you're like, this dude, even on the kickoff, he's trying to make tackles, and his back is all whacked out.
Back.
I'm like, this guy credit.
But that's his job, and that's what being a pro is, man. And he's the epitome of what a pro is. And when you see, most guys, they always say, oh, y'all don't do much. But people don't see what goes into it. People don't realize, you know, when most regular folks are sick, you get to call off work. There's no such thing as calling off work in the NFL for the most part. You can't, you're going to come to practice. You know, you were in the building. You're going to come to practice. They might send you home, but you're going to come to practice.
Practice?
Exactly.
We're talking about practice, man.
Exactly. But, I mean, he's doing his job. And that's one thing. He said without him, I think three more games could be chalked up as far as losses without Nick Novak.
Five in the one game. Big time. Long range field goals he's knocking through.
And mind you, this is a guy who's.
Randy Bullock's not walking through that door anytime soon, son. If there was a full buffet, Randy Bullock might be first in line, but that's a different story.
But not just that, but this is a guy whose career long was, 52 yards before he got here?
Yeah.
So he, and they have a few times, and 50, and everybody said, his career long is 52 yards. Yeah, but the Texans have been living around 49, 50 yard kicks, they've been living at 47. And they're pushing that limit.
And when you're supposed to knock those through, see Dan Bailey last night. See what happened.
Yeah.
You put a little, and for once, Collinsworth's analogy was dead on. If you're a golfer,
it's the same
you try and step on it a little more because you need a longer drive, it hooks.
It hooks.
When you're a kicker and you try to step on it and put a little extra into it, it hooks.
Yeah. They're the exact same thing. I had actually had it was actually a kicker that told me once. It was, I think it was either Sebastian or it was, I can't remember who the other, who was our kicker? Not Cyphers. And our other kicker in San Diego, not Cyphers, but,
It went to, Hawkeye, wasn't it?
Yeah, he was a Hawkeye.
Iowa guy.
Yeah, he's Iowa.
And he
Hawkeye.
Got hurt.
Yeah, and he got hurt. Oh. And that's how we ended up bringing in Chris Brown, and we ended up bringing Chris Brown, former Texan, and then that's how we ended up bringing Novak in. But he was the first one to tell me when he missed a few. He said, "Man, He said, "My swing is off." I said, "Your swing is off."
Well, your leg
swing.
But
he was just like, "Man, it's like golf, and I can feel it off, but I can't get my mental to get it back." To my regular swing, back to my regular kick, you know, as far as his technique, and you could see it, I really was like, dang, that's crazy how, because I golf, but I'm not any good. I mean, I'm Tiger Woods without his 40 girls. You know what I mean?
Okay.
So,
all right, TJ wants to get in on this. TJ, what's up?
What's going on, guys?
What's up, man?
What's up? Yeah, man, I like to piggyback off Trap saying how the Savage got to, you know, earn the starting spot. But I kind of feel he earned it by being ready and staying ready when his number was called. Because, I mean, secretly, you know, he's going to say all the right stuff. But on the inside, he's probably like, yeah, Brock, keep on messing up. I'm going to get my chance, and I'm going to work it. And I kind of feel like Brock needs to hold the clipboard a little bit, because you can't keep doing that. Yeah, we paying you all this money, but, man, you got to step up to the plate. And I think the system really don't even fit him. I think Kubiak kind of covered up a lot of his skills by just play action. And I just want to hang up and get you guys' take on that.
First of all, TJ, if you're going to piggyback, that's the right back to piggy on, because I'm telling you, you could land a small plane on it. So that was a smart move. That was a smart move all in itself. But I think we figured it out. The formula that we came up with, and correct me if I'm wrong, Trap, but the formula that we came up with is probably the safest for the Texans. You put Brock in, he's looking over his shoulder. He knows the first time he screws up, he's probably going to get the hook. Whereas opposed to you put the young kid in, and he realized it's part of the maturation process of playing in the NFL, and you're going out there, but you realize with so much on the line, if you do falter, we can go back to Brock.
No,
it's easier.
It's easier. Right. It's easier to go back to Brock than put Brock out there and get yanked again.
Right.
See what I'm saying? And, yep. And that to me is why I think they made that decision. That to me is why I think it's a smart decision, because now you say, you know what? Let us put him in there. Let the kid go at it. Let's see if he gets rattled, you know, in this game. And then if he doesn't, keep him in there. If he does, if he starts to mess up, Brock, we need you. Be the savior. Be that guy. And that's when I think he'd get that confidence to be able to step up and become Superman.
Yeah, so there you have it. TJ, appreciate the call, man. Always good stuff from you. Don't be a stranger. Nick, I see who's brewing on the line, and that's one that's always a powder keg. The powder keg that is Kurt Lowe is waiting online. Certain people don't even like taking your call, Kurt Lowe, but you know you're my man, so we'll get to you and see what you got right now. Kurt Lowe? What's my name, Kurt Lowe? Kurt Lowe, what's my name? Because this could go a long way to how long this call goes.
Kool-Aid?
No, that's what you drink. That's what you drink, Kool-Aid. Nick?
Oh, yeah.
That's what you got, Kurt Lowe. Now, what's my name?
Your name is Joe Blank.
Thank you, sir. Now you may continue.
Well,
Kurt Lowe has a tendency to call me Joel. He's the one that kept calling him
Joel. Yeah,
which Joel. Barry, of course, loves. But,
Joel was such a cooler name, man. You should take that and own it. You know what I'm saying?
If you were a female.
I'm talking to ladies, I want to be known as Joel, not Joel. Hey, Joel, what's going on?
Joel wins beauty contests. Joel is who I am. All right, so what do you got? I know you want to talk about your favorite team. What do you got?
Now, I just want to say, as much as I want to talk about kickers all day, you know what I'm saying? And Fat Randy, you know what I'm saying? I remember him, man. He was horrible. I can't believe he's still not on the team. I mean, I'm glad he's gone, man. He was just terrible.
But he was hungry.
I wanted to say, do you know who the player of the week is in the NBA right now?
Yeah, I already announced it. It's your man, James Harden. And you didn't even have to stuff
James
the ballot box.
James Harden.
Right, but I already announced that. So old news travels fast.
Do you know that James Harden has more assists per game, more points per game, more rebounds per game, and steals per game as an average than LeBron James? Did you know that?
I did know that, Kurt Lowe, but I've also been the one that's been preaching all year that he's going to be right at the top of the MVP runnings. But I want for people at home and for Nick and Travis to understand that a man of the good book, a man who lives his life to follow the Lord, has a very evil nickname for Russell Westbrook. And I don't think it's very neighborly. Kurt Lowe, I would like you to tell them what you call Russell Westbrook.
Until Russell Westbrook makes threes, he's going to be known as that for the rest of his life.
Did he call him Russell Westbrook?
Westbrook.
Yes. Now, that is not nice. And by the way, the guy's averaging a triple-double. And he's calling him Westbrook.
Man, you're going to
be known as Westbrook for the rest of his life.
You're going to put some respect on his name now.
I ain't putting no respect on Westbrook. All he's doing is chasing stats. Let me explain something to everybody. If a man's jumping over a seven-footer to get a rebound to get the triple-double, he's chasing stats, not chasing wins. James Harden is doing it all on the floor. The man that cares more about the assists per game than he does about getting triple-doubles. You know what I'm saying? So shout out to James Harden for actually making this team 10 straight wins and 21-7.
Kurt Lowe, what promo?
On that Houston
Kurt Lowe,
team that's
what promo are we running next?
I don't care what anybody says. I love Kurt Lowe.
I do too. Barry's the only one that doesn't like him. Kurt Lowe, what promo are we running next? Since this is your show, shouting out to your people, I just want to know what promo are we running next and who are we talking about?
My thing, I'm really concerned right now.
You guys notice how he just flew right by that?
Yeah.
Yeah. Kurt Lowe, where's Falbo Brothers?
Say that again.
Where's Falbo Brothers?
I don't even know what that is.
See, you don't listen. If you knew that, then you'd know if this was your show, the way you're trying to direct it to be, you'd realize that Falbo Brothers is the best pizza in Houston. It's in Sugarland on Sweetwater Boulevard, and that they run specials for people that listen to the show. If you want the platform and the stage and the mic, and you want to start giving shout outs and telling people to take notice, you got to be up to speed, brother.
I'm not on the game like you, Joy. That's why you at where you at and where I'm at. You know what I mean? I'm handicapped.
Yeah,
you know
what I mean?
You got the best show in the nation. You know what I'm saying?
Okay, you can preach on. You've earned a couple more minutes. Go ahead.
Now, I just wanted to say I'm very concerned with Clint Capela being out. Nene is not a natural center.
Right.
At this stage in his career,
Nene's on the way down. So, I mean, if Nene was the Nene of the Nuggets of years past, you'd probably be real happy with Nene being there. But because he is who he is, that's why I've said all along, Kurt Lowe, and I'm not hating. I'm saying, and we know your man Daryl will make a move before the end of the season, but they need one low post guy that can give you insurance for Capela and or anything in the low post. But one, when you get to a grinded out kind of game or a series and you need someone to defend on the one low block, you got a guy like that. And then if you need a bucket on the block, you got a guy that can get you a deuce when you need it or at least get fouled by making a good low post move. That's why I say enjoy the ride for who they are and what they are now. But between now and the playoffs, I hope they do add one low post guy. Fair enough? I guess he's done. Kurt Lowe. Always a good call, man. Thanks for joining the show. Hope you're continuing on your recovery. Everything's good. We are here until 4 o'clock. We've got two in the books, one to go on a really good show. Always a pleasure with my man Trap J and Nick. We are here till 4 o'clock, ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.